Many believe we're living through a war. Whether you see it as good versus evil, left versus right, conservative versus liberal, whatever it is, warfare may be a good way to consider it. If you happen to have a biblical worldview, like I do, nothing we see around us today makes any sense, does it? If one happens to believe the Bible is a fairy tale, and that being Christian, Catholic, or Jew is a bad thing, or that it's stupidity, then everything held sacred, important, and true to the former group is called stupid and discounted by the latter. William Lind, a military writer for 40 years, wrote Fourth Generation Warfare. In it, he said, at the heart of this phenomenon, Fourth Generation Warfare, lies not a military evolution, but a political, social, and moral revolution. All over the world, citizens of state are transferring their primary allegiance away from state to other entities, tribes, ethnic groups, religions, gangs, ideologies, and causes. Many people who will no longer fight for their state are willing to fight for their new primary loyalty. That's interesting, isn't it? We can see that in America today, it's everywhere. How loyal to the country are the Hamas supporters in college campuses? How loyal to America were the Green New Deal activists who recently tried to destroy the American Constitution? In this fourth generation, war is hard. The discernment is key. Knowledge and wisdom are paramount. I'm loyal to my God and country. I pledge allegiance to one flag under God with liberty and justice for all people, not just my tribe, cause, or religion. While our enemies may not understand me, despise my ideology, and call it stupid, it's still my right, isn't it? At least for today. And that's the battle or war we wage. I'm happy and proud to be fighting alongside you, shoulder to shoulder, and prayer by prayer, with you in this fourth generation war for truth and justice for all. God bless America.
And my fellow Americans, that is the voice of Booker Scott, my dear friend and colleague, and what a great, great message that he puts out there. So I ask you today, is it God, country, family still? Or is it no God, no country, just tribe or cause? A very interesting conversation coming up next with Booker Scott and Pastor Jeff Crippen on The Voice of a Nation.
The heart and soul of a nation beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul, the challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
And we join you in the broadcast here, my fellow Americans. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Thank you for joining us on the broadcast. And just a real great conversation we're going to have with you today. You heard the message up front from Booker Scott. And this is a piece that is on the news network entitled, I Pledge Allegiance to One Flag, Under God for Liberty and Justice for All. Now, listen, this resonated with me because our message on America Out Loud at the very, very top is what? What is it now? You tell me, right? Liberty and justice for all. If you've been listening to me over the past, going to be 8 years in just a couple of weeks, you'll know that message resonates with our network, with our people, with our mission. Let me get over first here to Pastor Jeff Crippen here, who joins me here. And I want to ask you, Pastor, we've all heard that God, country, family, or God, family, country, or some people might even say family, country, no God, I don't, whatever. Tell us what the right order of that is in your world, and how do most people relate to those words?
Well, first of all, you notice that there isn't too much argument, at least among reasonable people, which doesn't seem to be a lot of necessarily today, but that they'll always list it in God, family, country, or God, country, family. But God comes first, and that is vital, because everything else flows from an acknowledgement of God, specifically as He's revealed Himself to us in the Bible. And there is the dilemma today. This is what is at the root of the issue. And that is, as you say, now it is no God. And when there is no God, there cannot be family or nation, because He is the one that He's our creator. He's the one that has drawn the law, you might say, and even created the family and the nation, and tells us what they are and what they are not. So as soon as a nation, as soon as a person denies God, everything else turns into chaos.
That may be why we're having the problems we're having right now, Pastor Jeff. You know, that may exactly be it. You know, I always get an internal, it's ad nauseum, but a kind of an internal chuckle of disgust. I've never phrased it that way, Pastor, but I think I'll call it that, a chuckle of disgust. When people reference about the atheism, agnostic, that sort of thing. And because, you know, here we sit on this amazing planet in the universe of universes, with everything just perfect for an atmosphere to be able to breathe and for gravity to hold us to the planet as we spin around in the universe of universes. And you know, you have to believe any logical thinker, was this just happenstance, all coincidence, everything just aligned perfectly, the direct space between here and the sun, just a little bit either way, and we're in trouble. Life does not exist, and a whole lot of other things don't exist either. But people exactly. have that argument all the time, and it really befuddles me. I shake my head, and it's a bit of disgust, I say, humor disgust, I guess, but I think, what a moron that they can't even understand that it's not possible that there cannot be. I mean, this thing doesn't just happen on its own. I don't even know what kind of a lottery would that be, Pastor, you know?
Well, you can see that's absolutely correct. You can see any academic discipline, ultimately, where there's wisdom, leads back to God. Mathematics, a mathematician necessarily, if he were to be consistent, cannot be an atheist. The universe is so orderly, it's described in mathematics. The Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 1, what can be known about God is plain to them, and he means to everybody, because God has shown it to them. Well, how? Well, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So it's what we call general revelation in theology, that God's existence, his being as God and as creator, is evident to everyone, and they're without excuse then.
Yeah. You know, I had a few thoughts flowing through my mind as you were talking. I'm going to come back to some of those later. You know, just don't let me forget, Pastor, when later on in the program, organized religion. I want to talk about organized religion at some point. But I got to get right to the point of this essay first with Booker Scott here. And here's the thing, Booker. I think, you know, this essay resonates with me specifically because you draw out what I believe the problem is today, and that is that everybody has a tribe, and this tribe thing, and the biggest problem, I mean, well, there are so many levels of tribes. I mean, let's face it, every aspect of our lives is a tribe, but the biggest one that is the divide we find ourselves in right now are these two factions. One is called the Democrat Party, and the other is called the Republican Party. And of course, the communists want in on all of that. So they're trying to take over that Democrat Party. But Connor, those are the biggest tribes. And I think it resonates. I think this is one of the biggest problems we have today, Booker, because it resonates right out there in social media and media, where you either belong to one of those tribes and the ideology becomes your Bible. Everything else is out the window. True. If that doesn't transcribe it. And people are like this everywhere. I mean, on both sides of the aisle. I mean, it's a religion to these people. It's a sick religion, but it's a religion. It's just the same. Talk about that, please, in the scope of what we're speaking about here.
In a lot of ways, Malcolm, I believe that people no longer have a tolerance for other people's ideas.
Yeah.
And I personally believe that everyone's opinion is valid. It doesn't mean I agree with it. It doesn't mean that they are right. But unless I understand that their opinion comes from their experience and their knowledge in life and their journey through life, then maybe I'm not going to keep my mouth quiet long enough to listen to them. And then when you listen to someone, then you have the ability to also share. But that kind of gets us to the problem where we are now. There is one group of people in this country that really have no respect for what you believe and think and would like to take those rights away from you. And that's kind of the point of the piece, that as of today, I still have the right to believe in my God. And hopefully in this country, that will continue. But we also have a group of people that find their happiness from instant gratification of whatever, and Pastor mentioned reasonable people. There are far fewer people that are reasonable today from my perspective. Yet from their perspective, they think I'm unreasonable. And that is the problem.
Yeah, because you didn't fit into the narrative that they're demanding you fit into. And that makes you whatever they want to call you, which this is where this ugliness comes in, this horrible racist supremacist conversation that it goes to the gutter almost immediately. Why is that, Pastor Jeff, that people find the need? First of all, I love what Booker Scott, he and I have the same philosophy and thinking when it comes to everything he just shared. I mean, I could not have said it better, but it is my mantra. It is my mission in life, is to have discussions and roundtables and dialogue and talk and invite people into the table. But yet there is this wicked divide. There's something else going on here, Pastor.
Well, in the arena that I operate in, and I think to you guys do too, is that according to God's word, as given to us in the Bible, there is a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. And whereas in the past, in many ways, in the political arena, Republican versus Democrat often, usually even maybe, had to do with issues that were still, well, you could see that guy's point and he could see your point and we're going to need to compromise on this and work together. Whereas now it seems that the divide is becoming maybe not more intense, although it is more intense, but maybe it's just becoming more visible that there is a kingdom of light, God's kingdom, and there is a kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. And I think that that's really at the root of it. It used to be, church members in my church and so on. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat. We didn't talk that much about it and so forth. And I realize there's some more moderate Democrats and there's some kind of off the wall Republicans too. But all in all, now, as you've said, we've proceeded to a point where you say, could you even be a Democrat and be a Christian? Or could you, it seems to be proceeding that way. I don't want to equate Republicans with God's kingdom and Democrats with Satan's kingdom straight across the board. But certainly when you're looking at that far left group, then you have to ask, is it even possible to work together with and reconcile with these people, one nation under God? And I don't think that it is.
Well, you bring up a hell of a point there. That is perfectly said. You're talking about, Pastor, you're talking about a red America and a blue America, correct?
Yes.
The two divides, yeah. Now, you just said, and I don't think it is. Now, Booker, let's open this up a little bit, because I can't believe the pastor just said what he said, and yet I'm so pleased he said it, because I do question this all the time. Have we gotten to a point, you know, let me try to explain this real quick here, Booker, and then, yeah, I'm sure you can shine a light on this, but, you know, there are a couple of schools of thought here. All right. America, we were founded on diversity, diversity of thought, diversity of opinion, diversity of people, diversity of life. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, I love that about our nation. I love the fact it's not boring, and we are a unique melting pot of all kinds of things. And I truly think that is America. That is what we stand for. And that's why God put me here in this country and not in somewhere else in the world, I'm sure, to defend this mission that America stands for, which breaks down the division of people and who we are, that we're human beings in one race. Oh, that's what my friend Elvita King always says, in fact. We're the human race. I love it when she says that. In fact, I should have had her on today, but, you know, she calls it the human race. That's what we are, man. I love Elvita King, man, you know. And because she resonates with that message that's so important and so vital in the history of America. And Booker, when we have that and we put that out there in such a way, it seems like that's not enough for a lot of these people now. They're using this in the fight, because I think the bigger fight here we haven't really talked about yet, which you touch on in your piece, which is the essence of this program we're on right now. When I launched The Voice of a Nation, it was about the fight of good and evil. It was the fact that we were going to fight the good fight, that we were going to fight evil forces. That was, in fact, the measurement and the mantra of America Out Loud when it launched. It will be 8 years, April 1st here, coming up very quickly now. 8 years. Wow, I can't believe we started this 8 years ago, Booker, but it is. It don't seem possible. But here we are in the fight. And that was the whole mission of this thing, the fight of good and evil. But I think we now, this whole ideologues has taken over, and I'm not sure it can exist anymore. So when I talk about, on one hand, the diversity of a beautiful country, you know, oh yeah, this is cool stuff, man. Okay, I love it. And then on the other hand, I don't really want to be a partner and in the same country as the Marxist communists, Booker. I think that kind of makes that a bigger enemy now of what I call Satan's enemy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and they would agree with you, Malcolm. They feel the same way. And unfortunately, that's where we are. I don't think you or any of us could find a historian anywhere, and if you did, they would be a quack, that would not believe that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Now, that's not to say that the founders were saints, because none of them were, and I don't know that anyone is today, but that's the very foundation of a nation of equal justice under the law. And we've lost that, and we have a group of people that don't appreciate America. And I wrote another piece a month ago or so. It was called Proudly Puritan, and it was sort of in the same vein, that that history shouldn't be lost, because that is the history of America. And as you see them tearing down statues and trying to erase what is a great history and do away with this one country that we pledge allegiance to in their small factions. And that's what's destroying the country. And, you know, I don't know that we can live together, or maybe we reimagine where we fit in this country. And, you know, I had a guest on a show a while back. His name is Aaron Wren. And he is the author of Living in a Negative World. And that has to do with the fact that Christianity from 1964 to 1994 would have been seen as a positive in America. Most people went to church, and most people were pretty faithful then. And then from 94 to 2014, it became a neutral world, a neutral country, which meant it really didn't matter if you went, nobody cared, they wouldn't get upset at you. But then post 2014 is where he puts the date, somewhere around there, that we became a negative Christian country. And now it's a bad thing if you are a Christian.
That's interesting.
You may not tell people at work that you are a Christian, or you may not want them to know it as you apply for a job. And that is a huge difference.
Like it's a bad thing, you're saying, right?
Living in a negative world, living as a Christian in a negative world. And that's why I say we may have to reimagine that part and how we fit in society.
A couple of thoughts here for you, brother. You mentioned, was it 1994?
It was, he put it 64 to 94, 2004.
30 years, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, just before then, isn't that when about they were fighting over the manger scene at the local Kmart that was happening through that era there? Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a lot going on in that era.
Yeah, you couldn't have a manger scene out there anymore. That was, oh, my God. You know, that was a real problem for people, wasn't it? You know?
And I think it's important to look at that in a context of living in a negative Christian country.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I see things now. If you look at church attendance, and the pastor can talk about this, it's down, especially in the younger generations. I think the last time that I was on a program with you, we talked about that. I had had some stats that were pretty fresh on that. You know, it is a concern. And you wanted to get to a conversation, and I'll wait until you get to the conversation with the pastor about organized
religion. Well, let's do that right now. You just got me going here in my mind here, flipping here. But let me just say this, and I'll direct this to Pastor Jeff first, and then definitely want you to opine on it. But I want to say this to you, Pastor Jeff, and that is that, listen, I grew up in the Protestant church. Let me just put it out there right now, the Church of the Nazarene. I was always proud as a young boy because it was Jesus of Nazareth, right? So I thought, wow, I was on the inside track, Pastor Jeff, you know? You know, now it was a very strict religion. As you know, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't smoke. You couldn't drink. You couldn't dance. You couldn't dance. You couldn't really do anything. It was very, very tight.
Malcolm, I just have to say, I was raised the same way.
Oh, really? Really?
It wasn't Nazarene, but everything was a sin, and we were going down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that all worked for a little while, Booker, until they found the organist having an affair with the minister of the church, you understand. That didn't work so well after that, I think. I don't know what happened.
They made you look good.
But I have to tell you, I have never been a fan. A full confession now is, you know, I always confess the truth here. And you may like the truth, you may not like the truth, but it is at least my truth. And my truth, Pastor, is this. I've never been a fan of organized religion. I just am not. I find they make it very uncomfortable. I don't think that's why they attract the masses. I think people don't want to be uncomfortable in life. I mean, you can still be cool, hip, and out there and be a Christian. Look at me, Pastor. Come on, man. I mean, look at me. I'm a poster child for that. Come on now. Come on. You can't tell me you can't be all of that and be that. I don't put on airs for anybody, man. And, you know, and that's it. I am who I am. Whatever God gave me, faults and all, the blessings and all. But I put my pants on the same way as everybody else. And, you know, and I try to do good every turn of the day that I possibly can. And I know that my mission is good. And I know God, Pastor, I'll tell you this. I know God has the wind at my back. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But I've been fighting the good fight here all my life. So I'm pretty good with it, with whatever's going to happen. But I'm not a fan of organized religion. And I'll tell you, the first time I ever went into, and I have to tell you, just before I be quiet here, let me finish this other thing. My wife, I never went into a Catholic church until I was like, I think it was about 17-ish, 18. I was dating. We were dating, and I went into a Catholic church. And I was like blown away. I had never seen anything like it. All of the pomp and pageantry and all of the up and down and, you know, the kneeling, the back and forth and the beads and the confession box and confessing all the sins and all of this and all of the ambiance and the sort of whatever you want to call it, the dressings that made, and I was uncomfortable. It was like, this is way more for me than I can't really be cool in this environment, man. I don't really look cool in this. And kind of being cool was important to me as a human being, Pastor Jeff. What do you say to all that, brother?
Well, I agree with you a whole lot. I'm not a typical pastor. I've been a pastor of generally small and rural churches over the years. Okay. I have several thoughts floating around in my mind, and as I get older, some of them tend to get lost. But so I'll try to get them out there. But one of the things that I have found and realized, that we have to realize, is, first of all, Christ's religion, Christianity, is organized. But the question is, who organizes it? Does man organize it? Or is it something that's created by and organized by Christ? So we're told, for example, that the Apostle Paul, he compared the church, the true church, in contrast to the many counterfeit churches, and there's many of them, that he said it's like a temple, it's like a building, and it's, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The apostles are a foundation, but all they're doing is teaching what Christ gave to them. And then we as Christians are like this this building being built up into God's, you know, that's the true church. It's also called the body of Christ, compared to with Christ as the head, then a human body and so forth. But I think what you have in mind, and I would too, in regard to organized religion, is man's organization. God did not organize the Pope and his hierarchy. Mm-hmm. All right, man did that, and
he didn't organize all the priests to become pedophilias on the young boys either, did he? Or is that by God's wishes, there, sir?
It's all. The Roman Catholic priesthood is a false priesthood. There are only two priesthoods that have ever been authorized by God. One was the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, which, when Christ came and established the new covenant, was no more. And then in the new covenant, every single Christian, a person, a Christian, somebody that's really been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, is a believer priest. That was one of the big things in the Reformation days, Martin Luther and so forth, the doctrine of the believer priest, whereas Rome had established this false priesthood through which they claim that the priests in the church and so forth actually dispenses God's grace. You got to come to them. And at the root of it all is that same old story of evil, power and control, not just in Rome, but you find it in, well, for example, I've been a pastor for 40 years. In that 40-year period of time, and by the way, I've seen exactly what Booker was talking about there, that where people have no use for church anymore, all right? I could go on about that. But here you have, in my experience, we've wanted to find fellowship as a church with other real Christians and so forth. So we thought, well, you know, the way to do that is we'll find, here's what appears to be a sound biblical denomination, you know, Reformed Baptists or some organization like that, okay? And we've tried that three times with three different denominations, and every single time it was the same result. The result was, on the surface, it looks really good and so forth. But on the inside, what you have is a group of people that the reason they're in that structure is to get power and control and self-glory. And so they're the climbers, you know, they're the ones that get into all the head positions and so forth. And eventually they become tyrants. And so after our third failed attempt there, and we saw that, he's like, that's it. I'm done with that. We're just an independent conservative church, and we would love to have fellowship with genuine Christians. We do here and there. But as far as denominations go, and I think that's equivalent to what you're saying, organized religion, is I'm done with that. And by the way, it's through that organizing of local churches, right, gathering together, which, by the way, is not necessarily even found in the Bible, but gathering together, that was the road to Rome. I mean, where did the Pope come from? Well, they had these churches, and each one had their bishop and so on. Well, pretty soon at their meetings, the Bishop of Rome, he becomes kind of the head guy. I mean, after all, Rome is the center of the empire, capital of the empire. And so Buddy's Land. So there you were on your way to the papacy. And so anyway, that's my opinion. That's my conclusion over 40 years of what you're calling, I think, organized religion.
Well, I've seen a lot over the years, and I've got a pretty straightforward belief system at this point and what we're talking about here. But I have to tell you, and we got to take a pause here in just a moment here. It's just a great conversation to have, I have to tell you. But, you know, for me, you talk about Rome, you talk about the Pope, so on and so forth. Okay. You know, any sort of organization that allows grown men to molest young, innocent children is a organization from Satan. That's the way I look at it right there. It is an organization from hell. That's what I'm talking about right now. Let me not mince my words here to you all and how I feel about that, okay? So when it comes to that sort of thing, that the church still allows that, and that still goes on today, it is wrong. Now, I say that, friends. Why do I say it with such, you hear the stress in my voice. Well, I know full well what this is all about, as this problem we're talking about of molestation and pedophilia against young, little, innocent children was done against a family member of ours on my wife's side. We'll leave it at that. But it was terrorized his life, and he has never been the same since. And so we've seen this up front and in person here. You better believe it. So, yeah, it is beyond disgusting. And for them to call themselves a mission of God is a fallacy. And that would also go for the Boy Scouts of America, by the way. In the same passion, I would put that organized group in the same program. Whoever come up with these organizations, I would say they're not too far removed from evil forces, to be sure. If it was any different than that, then the powers to be would have fixed those organizations a long time ago. But they've never been fixed. They're as evil today as they were then. We'll take a quick pause to join you on the other side on The Voice of a Nation.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. And we we join you back here on the Voice of a Nation, my fellow Americans. Thank you for joining us on the mission here. Privileged to have you with me always. Terrific conversation today. I really look forward to this, mostly because of the two talents we have on today's broadcast on the Voice of a Nation. Truly one of my most favorite communicators, whatever you want to, political speakers, man of common sense, and a very, very dear person, Booker Scott, joins me here. He is host of Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud at 6 p.m. Very pleased and proud to call him a friend, a colleague, and just a great person of inspiration. Thrilled always to have him on the broadcast with me. Also, a very new friend. I'm excited to always to have him on. Just really great principles, but easy to talk to. Easy to talk to. And that's Pastor Jeff Crippen. Pastor Jeff Crippen. He lives in the real world, and so he doesn't put on those pretenses that a lot of people do in this business, and then come on and tell you what they think you need to know or hear, kind of thing. Now, before I made some statements at the end about the Boy Scouts of America and Catholic Church and what have you. And yes, I'm sticking to that. That is my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion, and I will not back down from that. Before I move off of that and go to Booker, I want to tell you, first of all, to doing some amazing work back at AmericaOutloud.news and encourage you to become part of the mission. It is a grassroots mission. We will be coming on 8 years now. It is hard to believe, my fellow Americans, that this has been 8 years now. We launched it on April 1st, for real, in the year 20. Only Malcolm could do that, to be sure. It was no April Fool's joke, but I just felt the movement in me to do it there. I don't know why that was, but I sort of go with these gut feelings. And of course, the gut feelings, and I get them all the time, are God feelings that tell me to do certain things or not to do certain things. And but that's when we launched the network. Had no idea what was going to happen or what it was, but it was just a mission that was on my heart and on my soul and something I've been talking about for many years. And that's when it happened. And the lights went on. It was later that year, in 2016, that the Talk Radio Network launched, and we made the contract and agreements with iHeart and others and launched it. But initially, it was the podcast network and the blogs and the post, and it really was a mission to do good. It was to turn the tide. It was to fight back. And that was after 8 oppressive years of the Marxists in the White House, Barack Obama. And I don't like to say, you know, a lot of my friends and stuff on the network, they'll do this. They'll say, oh, Barack Hussein Obama. Well, we know he's a Marxist, but I don't know that that changes anything by adding his middle name in there. But in any event, it was those 8 years that got me on my mission, that I recognized that we had to do something. And it was the rise of independent media. And I just had this conversation the other day with Dr. Peter McCullough. In fact, we were talking about the rise of independent media and the power of America Out Loud and the things we're doing. And there's a whole lot more to this I want to talk to the guys about in just moments here. And another gentleman I've been talking about on the platform here as well, I want to touch on. But before I do, I want to also invite you to AmericaOutloud.shop. There are some great things in there, but I want to tell you about something right now that I've just been digging a lot. It is a great product line, and I've been taking it now for about 2.5 months. It's called Heal Right, H-E-A-L, Heal. I always got to spell that out because of my accent. It comes from Pluto, as you know very well. So Heal Right. I told you I wasn't from this world, so there you go. Now you know. So Heal Right, and you can see that in AmericaOutloud.shop. But this is fantastic stuff. I'm taking them. My wife loves it. My college daughter loves it. She's taking them. And they're little micronutrient bars, if you will. And there are 4 flavors, and they taste good, but they are very effective. You just know they are, because you feel that difference. There's a pomegranate chocolate one, which is fantastic. A lemon blueberry one, which is really good. I love that one a lot, too. I love the fig apple one. There's a peanut butter one as well. I'm not as fond of that particular one, but other people may like it. I'm just giving you my truth again. That's all I can give you, right? But if you want to fight high blood sugar, chronic inflammation, high cholesterol, overweight, any of these things, this is fighting back with food as medicine. So instead of taking all these pills, which I don't like to take either, I don't know anybody that loves to take all the pills, and you don't get maximum absorption into your body with pills anyways, by the way, That's why healthy cell is such a big deal. With the micronutrients here, you can just, you know, in your mouth and it's down and you get maximum absorption into your body. I know I just mixed that message up, but I love healthy cell as well, by the way. But HealRight is fantastic, and they're new on the platform. And these little micronutrient bars, you can have them in the morning, afternoon, evening. They're not made for weight or that kind of thing, but they can be. They can be effective. They can help fill you up a little bit to skip meals, which is good because you also want to let your cells recharge and let them rest a little. You want to be feeding your face all the time because then you'll become part of that group and you'll obesity, and you don't want that. So you want to be using things that are conscious in your life. It is about quality of life. It's about your immune system. Listen, I get out at least five times a week. There are a couple of days the workload is so heavy here I can't breathe. But I get out at least five times, and I get out and walk 4 or 5 miles a day, my fellow Americans. And I'm proud to say that, and I love it. I love to see that the trees are still green, that the sky is blue, and the birds are still singing. It's a beautiful thing in America. So anyways, use the code out loud in the shop, by the way. 20% off you get off that HealRight product. Give these a try, these micronutrient bars, and tell me what you think. They are something else for the body. I will tell you that. Okay. Booker Scott is here. And Booker, I threw that statement out there. And I really have, I have a real pet peeve and a bone to pick with the Boy Scouts of America and the organized Catholic churches they may be. And everything I spoke about moments ago before the pause is very accurate and true. And, but you know, this whole thing of how they really hard to have any trust with these groups, these organizations, and what they've done to these young people. And that those problems are still not fixed. What are your thoughts on that? Have I overstated any of that in any way?
Yeah, probably not. Assure the Boy Scouts of America is not the entire organization. It's bad people within it, just like everything else.
Well, why doesn't the organization do something radical about it? It is the organization, unless they do something to fix it, Booker.
Well, but I would imagine, tried to fix the things that were going wrong with it. When you have an organization that is that big, right, with fingers going out so far, you really have no control over those individuals. And, you know, yeah, the Boy Scout, they meet in churches all over the country in little bitty groups. So the organization at the top may not even know what's going on.
You mean they meet at the churches, you're saying? Is that what you just said?
Oh, they meet at churches, absolutely.
Oh, well, isn't that interesting? I know they do, and I'm just interested how you just connected those dots. Maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know.
I want to go back to something the pastor said before the break, because I think it's important to understand that the church is the body of Christ. It's not a building. It's not a steeple. It's not an organization. And he mentioned this, that we are that body. We are the arms and the legs to do the work. And what is the work? You know, Jesus, as the example, said to love God with all your heart. And he said, just like that, love God. And that's pretty simple. And I look back to the Lord's Prayer, and I look at one line in that prayer: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen to that.
And if everybody loved God with all of their heart, and if we loved one another the same way,
that's it right there. That's the key. On earth. Yeah.
And yeah. Of course, you know me well enough to know we were speaking Wednesday night when I happened to be going into church, and it's important to me. And it does connect me with other people that are doing the work of the hands and the feet of Jesus in our communities.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with what you say there at all. But I've become a little the taste pastor, because I've seen so much in my life now and growing up in the Protestant church, the Nazarene church, and I found as a young lad, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Pastor, but I just want to share with you, I found as a young lad that most of the hypocrites were inside the church under the steeple than were outside the doors. And I became a little anti-organized of the chaos at that point. That make any sense?
Oh, yeah. I found the same thing. For instance, in my 40 years as a pastor, virtually all of the attacks against me, sources of division and seeking power and control and so forth, have come from within the visible church, not from without. I haven't had that much of an experience with what you might call persecution or whatever from outside the church. In fact, my contacts with in our small community here, I appreciate those people quite a lot. It is from within the church, and actually the New Testament and the Old Testament as well speaks more to that when it's talking about enemies. Jude, for example, says that, and I kind of paraphrase him here a bit, but he says these creeps creep in among us. And that's what they do.
I love the way you put that, by the way.
Yeah, that's where they've come in. Maybe I'll have to write a
creeps. How the creeps creep in among us. My golly, that could be the tagline for the Marxist Democrat left.
Exactly. And what I've found too, I mean, this sounds like a no-brainer. Why? Who wouldn't know this? But what I had to realize as a pastor, eventually, it took sometimes we can be slow learners on these things. Not everyone that says they're a Christian is, and not every Christian church that says it's a Christian church is. Many of these entities and individuals are not Christians at all. They're not born again.
Churches metaphorically, I mean, you just pointed it out perfectly, Pastor Jeff. I mean, it's not the building or, well, like Booker said, it's not the building or the steeple, right?
It's the body of Christ. It's Christ's true Amen. People. And
and you know what's really cool about what you see here, and Booker, let me remind everybody and remind you, all of us, not that, you know, is that, you know, that God uses the most unlikely people. Hence, when people say, and they couldn't understand why that, I remember some of the signs a few years ago, and I'm sure you do too, where the establishment was saying, why would anybody of that magnitude support Donald Trump? Would you pass the gray poupon, please, you know?
You know, Malcolm, I post this a few times on social media. And you remember the song? I know you learned it when you were a child. So did the pastor. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then I asked the question, are you? Because as you look at maybe the decline of church going and people like yourself that give up on it, through the decades in America, which maybe has a lot to do with where we are right now. Did enough people shine their light and let people know what the true story of the church is? Or were we influenced more by Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker?
Wow. Yeah. Remember those names? Oh, boy. That emphasizes the greed factor right there. I want to turn to an op-ed here. Guys, I want to really open this up now with Booker and Pastor Jeff here. And it's this. Pastor, you wrote a piece, fascinating, and it was really well done. And I love your writings. You know, Booker, if you've read some of Pastor Jeff's writings, he's doing a great job. And the reason is, absolutely. Well, he can throw it out there and dish it out with the best of them, but he does it in such a clean environment. There's no waste and you know what I'm saying? Nobody was hurt. You know, nobody was hurt. But he gets the message across perfectly. And I think, I like this guy. I like what he does. So there's one interesting piece. And by the way, he titled the piece initially, I have to tell you in full disclosure, Booker, he titled the piece initially, "When a Tyrant Rules, What Is the Church to Do?" And of course, and he was very gentle about it, but he hit the nail right on the head. Well, the problem with some of those abstract titles is people don't read them because it doesn't hit the nail on the head to what the real problem is. Sometimes we don't get that point into the title, and titles are really, really important. So I added a couple of words in there that were kind of important that he had put in the piece. And I think, Pastor, you would see that. And the words were Joe Biden, which he talked about in the piece. but he didn't put it in the title. But I hope you understand why I put that in the title, Pastor, right?
Oh, I do. And I liked it. I'm glad you did.
Oh, good. Good. I thought you were going to call and reprimand me. He said, Malcolm, what are you doing? I don't know. But it was when a tyrant like Joe Biden rules, what is the church to do? It's an interesting piece. And you put it out there perfectly. So you're talking about pushback now. You're talking about standing up for truth, Pastor. You're talking about the status quo is not acceptable. You're talking about the fact you cannot just be a disciple of hell because of what? So tell us what you're talking about.
Well, you don't have to look very far in the Bible to see that. There's plenty of tyrants in the Bible, and that in every case, God always sent his church or his man to rebuke the tyrant. He spoke out against them. There wasn't such a division of church and state. There is a biblical division of church and state, but it wasn't to the extent that we see so much today. Well, you know, church and state are separate, so the church can, we don't want to get involved in politics. Well, the fact of the matter is that the church has an obligation before God and the authority of God's authority to stand against a wicked ruler, a wicked tyrant. And the pattern goes all through from Genesis to Revelation, and that we see that pattern. So pastors today, I don't think, now there's good pastors today. I'm not trying to make out that there's not, and some are do speak out this way, but for the most part, largely, it's not being done. Either the pastor himself mm-hmm. is part of that left-wing group, or simply it's like, well, we just have to call it what it is, cowardice, right? Because I think Booker was referring to that in his mention of social media. If you want to get crucified, just say some basic fundamental conservative statement on social media and see what happens.
Right.
I mean, the demons come out of the woodwork, but we have to speak out. And one of the primary places to speak out is from our pulpits. That's the first place. But now we have this great, which you've used so well, this great opportunity through the internet and social media. So we do that. We put our sermons, Bible studies, and everything on these various formats and speak out. And I think we need to be saying, Joe Biden's a tyrant. A State of the Union message ought to prove that to everyone.
Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. And you pointed out here, you say we find ourselves in our nation experiencing a taste of life under tyranny. And you point to the State of the Union message, which was very volatile and very accusatory and very demeaning and very hellish. And he went after everybody who didn't have a Marxist, leftist, communist, global viewpoint, such as his own. He went after the Supreme Court justices to their faces and really brutalized them for not allowing, for reversing what really shouldn't have been the law. In other words, making it proper to murder young babies. That was the message of the whole abortion thing, that was perfectly legit. And how dare they protect life? How dare they roll that back? Of course, it never should have got through to begin with. We know that argument already. But then you say, but our chief executive was not finished with the threat toward the judicial branch. He went on to deride the legislative branch, Congress. He sure did, at least the last part of Congress, which opposes him. So he would be a tyrant. A tyrant is an absolute ruler who is unrestrained by law, or one who has usurped a legitimate office. Booker, you want to take that?
Well, how do you put up with what Joe Biden is doing? And it's not Joe Biden. We can all agree with that. He's a vessel. You know, that's what he is. Barack Obama and his highly qualified experts, which is a whole other show altogether that you should dig into sometime, because it's really interesting to learn about the thousands of people that Barack Obama left in office.
Oh, the cabal. Oh, you're 100% right.
Yeah. And it's actually, you know, you can Google that. You can.
Well, that's why we're having problems today. That's the whole deal, Booker, right there. And that's why they're all throughout the bureaucratic state. He hook, line, and sinker. He killed it.
Yeah. But when it comes to, you know, having a tyrannical leader, and it really comes back to you, to me, to individuals living in our community. And if we're going to make a difference, then if you're going to have a movement, it requires moving, and you have to do something. And if you truly believe that this is the time for America, if you truly believe that you want to take power from a tyrant, then what's the best way to do that? And the best way to do that is to become active. And also another way is to shine your light, you know, shine your light. Let people say, I want what you have. What is it? And it's, I have freedom. I have liberty because I live in the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
And that this is our nation, and we're going to keep it just the way it is. And here's how we're going
to
do it.
Well, Booker, to your point, that was so beautifully said. To your point, brother, you know, listen, I just came to my mind here, and we're coming up on the 8-year anniversary, as I say, but, you know, at the top of the hour now on the network, I don't say my name there, but it's clearly my voice on the network. And there was a change that happened when we launched the new platform in January that now is with those spots. And it goes, now is our time, my fellow Americans. Is that correct, Booker? Right. Right.
Well, it is. And it's and unfortunately, and I can say that I'm guilty. You know, I trusted in my government. I trusted in my politicians for 20, 25 years. While I was sleeping, I would go vote, and then I would go to work and stay busy in my life, and I was selfish in my things. And then I woke up one morning, and I realized where we were, and I don't like it. I don't like the direction the country is going. And I don't want my children and my grandchildren to grow up in a completely tyrannical state where they don't have the freedoms and the hopes that we were all given and that we all lived under. As the three of us are talking, that's the way we grew up. I want them to have those same opportunities.
Amen. Amen. And what you just say there is so, so important. Everything you just shared, people need to hear that. It is vitally important. I want to mention here that as we wind up here, friends, Pastor Jeff Crippen, his book, Unholy Charade, Unmasking the Domestic Abuser in the Church. Now, if you just go to our menu, very, very easy on the platform at AmericaOutloud.news, and go to authors and host, look up Pastor Jeff Crippen. You'll see his books. He's got a series of them there, but that last one there is a barn burner. You want to take a look at that one here, and go look up Booker Scott there as well. Just click Booker Scott. You'll get all his write-ins, his shows, what have you, and of course his show, Truth Be Told with Booker Scott, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday in the primetime space here. Privilege, gentlemen, to have both of you here always, and privilege to call your friends. Thank you for joining me in the fight, and the fight for freedom, the fight for liberty, the fight for justice, the fight for good, the fight that good will prevail over evil. That's our fight here, friends. And that's my story here today, and we're sticking to it. Thank you for joining me on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.